The promise and the practice is a worship service crafted and created by Blue, Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism. I'm grateful for Reverend Rebecca Savage, Reverend Viola Abbott, and Reverend Michael Slack. The premise and the promise is the story of the Unitarian Universalist Association written by Warren Ross. In the chapter entitled A Bitter Battle About Race, he writes, "Back in the mid-19th century, ministers of both denominations, Unitarians and Universalists, had adopted anti-slavery declarations. Later, in 1963, busloads of UUs descended on Washington, D.C. to join in the civil rights demonstrations and to hear Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. In 1965, King sent a telegram to religious leaders asking for support in joining him in Selma. 100 Unitarian Universalist ministers heeded Dr. King's call, including Reverend James Reeb, a white minister, and 100 lay Unitarian Universalists, among them Viola Liuzzo, a white woman. Both James Reeb and Viola Liuzzo were killed. At the service for James Reeb, Dr. King gave the memorial address. The martyrdom of Reeb became enshrined as proof of our racial sanctity, along with the famous story of how Theodore Parker kept a pistol in his desk drawer to fight off anyone trying to recapture fugitive slaves. What we recall less often is that there were Unitarians who were slave owners. The moral dilemmas continued over the years, and yet there was a comfortable assumption that UUs were on the right side of the civil rights struggle. These were turbulent times, the 60s, and in the months before his assassination, Dr. King was being pushed to abandon his tactics of nonviolence and alliance with whites. Some Black UUs echoed this impatience. Dr. Mark Morrison Reed writes in his book, Black Pioneers in a White Denomination, and I quote, "We do not stand above the social attitudes of our times, as we are prone to believe, but instead flounder about in their midst along with everyone else," end quote. In October of 1967, the UU Commission on Religion and Race called an emergency conference on UU response to the Black Rebellion that was happening in Detroit, Los Angeles, Newark, and across the nation. 135 participants, including 37 African Americans, gathered in New York's Biltmore Hotel. At the beginning of the conference, 30 of the 37 African Americans created a Black caucus where they could develop a list of demands for submission to the UUA Board of Trustees to be voted on the next GA. The demands including establishing a Black Affairs Council and to be funded for 4 years at $250,000 per year. These demands were adopted and later voted on by the delegates at the 1968 GA. Black UUs brought a specific agenda, their personal quest for self-discovery as Black Unitarian Universalists. 1969 was the year of Woodstock, Stonewall, and many anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. Before that, in the South, the struggle for racial justice had united UU congregations. But now, when Black UUs demanded Black empowerment within the Unitarian Universalist Association, it caused a major split, resulting in Black delegates and white supporters walking out of the 1969 General Assembly in Boston. When people who joined the UUA movement hear there was a major walkout at General Assembly, they find it hard to believe. What? Among us? Among UUs? People seized microphones? called each other unforgivable names, spat in each other's faces. How could that be? Yes, it was. And it is a painful part of our history, and we are still trying to heal from that. In 1969, the official agenda of the GA in Boston called for the appropriation of another $250,000 for the Black Affairs Council. This ignited controversy. The youth took the microphones and prevented anyone else from using them and speaking. When the Black co-chair tried to speak, the delegates walked out. A new UUA president was elected who ran on a platform calling for the funds for the Black Caucus not to be drawn from the UUA treasury, but from future voluntary contributions. Jeanette Hopkins recalls, Robert's rules of order were applied selectively. It was the height of white condescension and paternalism. Obviously, there was a total racial injustice in our country and still is, but we, who ought to have been the most sophisticated on matters related to racial justice, instead took a position that was both naive and cynical. We were patronizing and paternalistic, betraying the Blacks who had all along been members of our churches. They were treated like dirt, and that's part of the reason we have never done what we should have to integrate our churches. We, who should have been a model in the fight against racial injustice, instead spent our energies fighting among ourselves. End quote. Jack Mendelson, minister of the Arlington Street Church, who became vice chair of the Black Affairs Council, describes the events that took place at GA in Boston. Almost all of the 200 to 300 Black delegates who were there got up and walked out. There was such confusion and turmoil that a recess was called, and I went to find out where they were. I found them in a room at the Statler. They were saying goodbye to one another. They were in tears. They were broken. They were going home. I went back to the GA and told them what was happening to our Black members. I said I'd be glad to have any of you who want to join me so we can consider what to do about this. And as I walked off the podium, one of my honored colleagues got up and spit in my face. The uneasy tranquility of our liberal denomination was broken. Our wounds have never been deeper. Our denomination will never be the same again because of this racial agony. End quote. Looking back and thinking about what sparked the controversy, Norma Poinsett, a Black member of First Unitarian Church of Chicago, stated, "I still believe they didn't like the idea of Black people deciding what to do with the money. But I didn't leave. I stayed on. I knew enough about the UUA to understand that everything moves slowly, that you don't change minds that fast. Anyway, I wasn't a Unitarian because I thought they were non-racist. I was a member because of what the religion means to me. I think now we've come close to doing the right thing." Melvin Hoover, director of Faith in Action, referring to current anti-racist efforts, says, "We have been provided with the rarest of human opportunities, a second chance." And Reverend Rebecca Savage says, "This is a beautiful time of opportunity. Beloveds, born of truly listening to people of color and beginning to repair the fabric of community that has been torn, ripped asunder by years of broken and empty promises, words of good intention unmatched by purposeful action. We are looking at ourselves in the mirror and seeking a new way. I celebrate that we have the moral and spiritual courage to listen deeply to voices that have been marginalized. Beloveds, now is our time to lead with love and make right the ways our denomination has fallen short of our shared principles. We are powerful, aspirational, covenanted people, and we are being called to account for our historical, moral, and spiritual failings in order to move into authentic, beloved community. Now, today, right here, right now, is our time to harness our ability to reflect inward in order to reemerge with a power greater than ourselves that gives rise to a new day, to a new story, to healing. Beloveds, with love and peace in our hearts, let us move forward. Amen. Blessed be. Ashe. And while we sing, in the interest of time, we'll take the offering. And we want to say a couple of words about the offering before we sing This Little Light of Mine. I'll do it. Every day in our world, people are feeling vulnerable, frightened, and heartbroken. For Black, Indigenous, and people of color, the effects of racism and oppression are an everyday lived reality, and these feelings are not new. As Unitarian Universalists, we are invited and challenged every day to live more deeply into our faith. And every day, our people, our congregations, are responding to that invitation. We are learning to confront these things in our hearts, lives, and congregations. Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism is one of the most exciting ways our faith is answering this call. As a national ministry for and by Black-identified Unitarian Universalists, Blue embodies a liberating community of all ages, a community that lifts up the lives and stories and the leadership of those who have been marginalized and silenced for too long. Today, we are asking you to join us in fulfilling the promise. We need your help. The UUA has set aside $1 million from its endowment, and two very generous UUs, Julie and Brad Bradbird, have offered an additional $1 million to match congregational giving. This means that if we reach the goal of giving $10 per member, that gift will be doubled. If you believe that our faith must become radically inclusive, justice-centered, multi-racial, and multi-generational, then there's no better way to advance that vision than through your support of Blue. We make it possible through our commitment and our generosity. Thank you for your support.